Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, for the first time in almost a week, Matt Dennison here with you. Lee Kelly is in studio with you, and I want to tell you, I have been out and sick and really just a sore throat, sore voice, no voice at times. It's been a really rough week. There's been a lot, obviously, go on, some good, some bad, including last night. That second half was just terrible by this Indiana team. And I feel bad that I've missed really just shy of a week of radio with you. But I'm back today, pretty close to, I think, being back to 100%. For all the people that hoped I got fired, sorry about your luck. I'm back. I was sick. And for those of you that sent the very kind messages, just being concerned about the show and where I was, not knowing I was sick, very much appreciate all of you that reached out, whether it was on social media or through the station or through a text message or a phone call or a mutual friend that you know we have. So it's glad to be wanted, I think you can say. And I've been itching to get back with you on the radio, and I'm thrilled to death to have the great Lee Kelly in studio with me today because in addition to having fun with Lee on Thursdays, I know that Lee can provide a little backup when I need a pause with the voice. So, Lee, it's great to see you. I'm glad to be feeling better. I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad that we are approaching February 1st and March Madness conference tournaments, essentially, about a month away. High school basketball postseason right at a month away, girls postseason, which is kind of a precursor to some of the big things, it's next week, which is unbelievable. And so I guess if there was ever a time to take a pause or a break or to get sick or to lose your voice, even if it has to come during the great basketball time here in our area, I guess it would be better to happen in January as opposed to February or, of course, March. But glad to be back. Glad to have you with me. And I can't be excited about last night's game, and we're going to talk plenty about that today. But I am glad to be back and be able to at least talk about a bad IU performance, especially in the second half last night.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't make you feel any better if you were trying to recover from an illness. The only good thing about once you start getting over something like you've had is how much better you feel, and you really appreciate it more. Yes. That, oh, my gosh, I feel so good in comparison. So, yeah, glad you're back on the mend, Matt.
Absolutely. Welcome into our Thursday program. We have lots to get to. We have lots to catch up on since I was with you last, and a lot has happened, Lee, with this Indiana team. I really started to feel bad on Thursday. Went ahead and did a radio show, kind of struggled through it last week. In fact, I had to record some of it as I felt like I was getting sick that morning so we could get a show on. But we had a good show. We were previewing Michigan State. We had Alex. We had Brendan Quinn from the Michigan State side, from the Athletic. And I really wasn't sure what to expect with Indiana heading into that two-game stretch at home with Michigan State and Maryland Thursday and Sunday. And almost that stretch went unbelievably good for Indiana because they obviously came out Thursday night. They got the win over Michigan State. I'm really feeling bad as the game's going on after the game. Then on Friday, I want to get very desperately to the station and talk about the big Indiana win. You can feel the momentum. Things are buzzing on social media. Voice not cooperating. Can't do a show to kind of talk about a huge Indiana performance and a huge Indiana victory. And then, of course, on Sunday, Indiana does so many things right against Maryland, but can't close the door against Maryland. And it's one of those losses, even at home. And I know Maryland has bounced up and bounced down. They've had some good happen, some bad happen. But when they are firing on all cylinders, and I felt like they were for a good portion of that game Sunday, they're a really good team. And for Indiana to battle in that type of environment, that type of setting, the way that they did, I thought still very productive, very positive, so close to another big win. And I think if Indiana beats Maryland and Michigan State back-to-back, they're close to the tournament.
Yeah.
And they were so close to that Maryland win. So was excited, even in a loss, about that performance. Couldn't come back, obviously, to talk about it. Had no voice at that point. And then, of course, heading into last night's game, would love to have been with you yesterday to preview it and even had some guests lined up to talk about it from the Penn State side, but couldn't do it. And, of course, hopeful last night that Indiana has turned the corner and is going to consistently play some pretty good basketball. Not great. We know this team's going to turn it over some. We know Devontae Green's going to be Devontae, good and bad. We know that this team's going to struggle shooting the ball. We know they're never going to be a great three-point shooting team. I think we all can admit that. But there are some things about this team that are appealing, and there are some things about this team that are good, and I think this is an NCAA tournament team, even after the bad performance last night. And Andy Katz, who's my favorite since he was working for the Fresno newspaper and then was one of the first kind of national college basketball figures. I can remember as a kid I'd be at the Nike All-American camp when that was still the big deal. And there, you know, there was Dick Vitale, an announcer, but there really was no national college basketball media as there is today. The Jeff Goodmans of the world, the guys with CBS that cover it from all angles, the Gary Parishes and others that I'm missing. But he was the first. He got hired from the Fresno newspaper to work for ESPN, and he would always be at Nike camp working the high school scene. That's where all the college coaches were, top 200 players in the country. And so I really have an affinity to him because he was nice to me as a kid. I don't know him well, don't talk to him anymore at all. But obviously from there, he became, to me, the first real national college basketball guy that had all the scoops. And I know since then he's not with ESPN anymore. He's working for the NCAA some and the Big Ten Network some, and he's got some other side gigs. But he's always been, to me, a guy that I really trust his voice, trust his opinion. I know he talks to lots of college coaches. He's so well connected. And it encouraged me last night after the game, after the terrible second half. First half, not good for either team, but a good game. And Indiana up and then down and then tied it up before half. So, hey, that's great at Penn State. Second half, just disastrous for Indiana. Second half for Penn State, you see how good they are and can be and the steps that that program in 1 year has taken. Unbelievable. They were 0-10 in Big Ten play a year ago at this time. But that said, after that terrible second half, Andy Katz said last night, and again, maybe some people think Andy Katz is clueless. I don't. I think he's a good guy, knows his stuff. Indiana's an NCAA tournament team. He said, I think I agree. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some questionable moments where I might question that statement. But with what I've seen here over the last week, it's not been great. It's not been pretty. It's not been something that you feel real consistent about. I mentioned defense and turnovers and shooting. I think it's never going to be perfect. But I do think this team has some potential to get to the tournament. From there, I don't know. But last night, what I do know, that second half, if you watch that alone, took out Michigan State, Maryland, and some of the other good things, that was a bad half of basketball for Indiana.
It was. It was painful to watch because there were so many unforced turnovers in that second half where they just flat threw the ball away for no reason. Not saying Penn State didn't play good defense, but that really wasn't the reason for a lot of those. I think it was 18 turnovers. I read the shooting statistics this morning. Helen Keller and Stevie Wonder could come pretty close to matching those shooting statistics. So, but I do think they're a tournament team at times. And what drives me crazy, and I haven't been a big Devontae Green fan through the years, but I kind of understand where Archie stands with him because I don't think you can win without him. You can pick up a victory here or there, and he can have a mediocre game. But sitting him on the bench, not playing him at all, I don't think that's an option. I think he's got to be in there. Jerome Hunter, sick last night, I understand, just before game time, and was not able to go at all last night. He's been playing much better, and he's one of the key people off the bench for them. I think that hurt them last night. Did it cost him the victory? That I don't know. That's a pretty big stretch the way they played, but he has become a vital part off the bench, and they missed him, quite frankly. So, but I think they're a tournament team. I'm excited for this tournament because I think there's, and pick a number, 20 teams, 25 teams that could win it all. Somebody's going to get hot at the end in the tournaments, the league tournaments, and then they're going to carry that over into the show. And somebody out of nowhere, I think, maybe a San Diego State, somebody is going to get hot and surprise us all. And I don't know who that is. If I did, you and I would make a lot of money in that sports betting place down at the casino.
I tell you what, this could be a year where somebody that you don't expect, that typically isn't in competition for a Final Four appearance or, you know, a national championship discussion, this could be a year that somebody, I agree with you wholeheartedly, that somebody wins it, that you have no expectation to win it, or maybe they've not been in that discussion on a regular basis. Tournaments like that are fun, especially if your team, the team that we're following, is Indiana. Most of you listening, your team is Indiana, especially if your team is not really in contention. I don't want to say that Indiana, if they can squeeze in, couldn't be the team to get hot. Who knows what could happen? In fact, Andy Katz said that last night. He goes, look at how hot this team's been at times. You put two or three games like that together, and all of a sudden you find yourself pretty deep into the NCAA tournament if you can get there. But I do think it's going to be a terrific tournament, a terrific March. And, of course, Lee, as we get into all this gibberish about March Madness already, I get just as excited about the high school stuff as I do the college stuff. And I know some people that listen appreciate the high school discussion, and other people probably wish we'd stick more to college in Indiana. But, you know, we know about what's went on this regular season and where some of the local storylines are at in the high school stuff and how important it still is to the area. And, boy, at Seymour, I think about already. In fact, I'm going there tonight for a freshman game with the new Albany team that we coach. But just being in that gym this time of year, late January, the start of February, I'll start getting in that postseason feelings tonight when I go to Seymour for a empty house, nobody there for a freshman game. But you can't help to think what that place might look like really less than a month from now, you know, on a Tuesday night, a Friday night. So it will be fun, and plenty obviously to get to. Let's jump into a couple things we need to get done here. The show lineup today, segment one, Zaxby's headlines, segment two, Alex Bozich inside the halls with us on IU basketball. We'll recap last night. And segment three, Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, will be with us to talk some IU football. There's a lot going on right now. Peyton Ramsey enters the transfer portal. We haven't had a time to talk about any of that. I haven't been with you since that happened. Lots of recruiting activity and more with IU football that we need to talk about today with Matt Weaver, and we'll do that coming up here later in the program. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order. Don't forget you can interact with the show. You got a question, a comment, tweet it to me, at Hoosier Hills, all one word, at Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also follow the show on Facebook. Just search The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Facebook. You can leave us a message there. Maybe we'll read your question or your comment on the air today. And our Zaxby's headlines, we've kind of been going through some of the headlines already today. They are a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And Lee, before we get out of this first segment and get to Alex and talk more about last night's game and last night's horrific second half performance for this Indiana team, I think we got to talk about the game from a perspective of Trace Jackson Davis. He was really one of the only bright spots for Indiana. 17 points, 7 rebounds. He logged 31 minutes last night in the game for Indiana. Other scores, Justin Smith, he was in double figures. He had 13 points last night. And really outside of that, from a scoring perspective, it was Jackson Davis and Justin Smith that led the way for this Indiana team in a bad performance. Other things from the contest last night, Alex wrote this, and we're going to talk some about this with him, but a collapse is what I think you call that in the second half for their second straight loss for the Hoosiers. It's amazing to me that some of the backcourt, even the veterans that are backcourt members of this team, when Indiana plays really bad for not just a couple possessions, but for a stretch or a half, so often you think, well, what did he do, or where was this player at, or where did Durham or Finney or whoever it is, where did they go? What happened to them? And it's amazing, so many there with experience and so little production from some of those guys last night. So I think definitely as this team moves forward, as I've just called them, I think an NCAA tournament team, they're a team that still is marked with problems. The good thing about this Indiana team is they go from playing really bad to playing really good. They can get hot, and when they're hot, they're pretty good. And you got to hope that there are enough. It's not what Indiana fans want to hear, and it's not a signal that the program is back or that it's going perfectly in the direction you want it to. But you got to hope when they get hot, they can stay hot long enough to slip in the tournament. Ultimately, I think they will. Ultimately, I don't think this is going to be I think we have enough proof in the pudding, you could say, to show it's not going to be a great Indiana team. I think we know that. But nonetheless, lots to talk about with last night's game, and we'll do more of that, Lee, coming up here in just a few moments with Alex Bozich.
Yeah, it's a strange year. We've already talked about that. When Coach Krzyzewski yells at the Cameron crazies, that's an unusual year when Kansas and Kansas State tries to kill each other on the court and one of your players has a stool over his head as if he's going to hit somebody with it. It's an unusual year, and there have been many other things going on. I don't know. It's not as much fun for me to watch this year as it has been in the past. And I think the ACC obviously is down. The SEC, they're talking about a limited number of teams from there getting into the tournament. Talking about the Big Ten getting 10 to 12 teams in at times, or some reporters are talking about that. So it's an unusual year in some ways, and it just has not been, and maybe old age has more to do with it than lack of quality play at the college level, but it just has not been as enjoyable this year flipping around the dial as it has been in the past.
Lee, one final thing we do need to do before we get out of this first segment is, and I know that, again, have been off now, so haven't had the opportunity to do so, the Kobe Bryant news. I know it's been very much covered and lots of publicity given to it, as it should, but just a couple thoughts on that, and I want to get your thoughts as well. When I think back about basketball and NBA basketball, obviously, as a kid, I was born in 84. I think about Michael Jordan and some of the big NBA games, excuse me, the finals, the big performances that he had. And he clearly is the defining, not just NBA player, but basketball career, basketball player in my lifetime. And I think that most people my age my age range would have to agree with that. If I had to pick number two, obviously, going back to that same period, you got Larry Bird and Magic Johnson that obviously were great and meant a lot to the game. And Larry Bird personally, because he's from Indiana and so forth. But if I had to move forward in time, I think Kobe Bryant would be right there behind Michael Jordan in my book, because as maybe my interest as I grew up a little bit in the NBA waned and went more to college and high school, you get into doing radio work and covering the game and other things, you focus on that stuff. He was that one NBA player that when I was disconnected from the NBA and maybe watched the finals and maybe didn't care about the Pacers that much, didn't have a diehard team that I watched or followed all the time. He was that one player that on SportsCenter, that in the media, on websites, whatever, you kind of kept up with, because he just did some unbelievable things, unbelievable shots, big performances. So in a period when I was disconnected, and I'm not real connected with it right now, but in a period where I was pretty disconnected with the NBA, Kobe was that one connection. He's still the player on a Sunday you might watch on a big game, a finals, things that I still watched and kept up with him on a regular basis. So when I think about Kobe's importance to the basketball for people my age and for me personally, he's not in front of Michael Jordan. He's right behind Michael Jordan. I think about LeBron. I respect him. I like him, like his game, but I don't have the connection or the feeling for him that I have for a Michael Jordan, and then a little bit lesser than that of Kobe Bryant. So my point is, when you lose somebody like that from the sports landscape that you watched as a kid grow up and you respected and you emulated and you kept an eye on him, even when you really didn't have a lot of interest in his team or in the NBA, at least for me, I didn't at that period. Obviously, he transcended things for me. And you just hate to see someone like that leave any time, you know, die any time, but especially 41 years of age with his daughter in the manner that it went down. And I think the thing that's most impressive to me about Kobe Bryant is off the court, he was really just getting started. He had so many good endeavors going on that were impactful, that were meaningful. You know, whether it was the Mamba facility, you know, we talked some in the offseason, Romeo was out there. Was he working one-on-one with Kobe Bryant? I don't know. I think he was around, but you know, so many players have been impacted by him in that facility. Of course, he's got youth programming, adult programming, all sorts of sports programming. And that was just one of many endeavors, whether it be charity or business that he had that were impactful type things. So just a moment there to reflect on him and his passing. And I know there's going to be plenty more about him in the coming days. But what a terrible thing to happen to somebody that in the world of basketball has meant so very much.
Yeah, I wasn't a Kobe fan, I'll be quite honest. I wasn't anti, wasn't pro. I watched him play a few times on TV. Not a big NBA fan. I've mentioned that on this show and to other people. But the thing that really caught me off guard on Sunday was the fact that he and his daughter both perished. I looked at it more as a father. You know, there are now kids, and it happens every day. And that's what a couple of people have said to me, you know, why should I be impacted by Kobe Bryant? I don't know Kobe Bryant. People die every day. People die every day that have kids and so on. But he seemed to be a good family man, and he seemed to be involved with his kids, and he was with his daughter going to a tournament and so on. I think that's what struck me on Sunday more than anything else. Not pro. I hate to see anybody die, period. But it just, I don't know, that the other families involved had kids, obviously, and were, you know, it's just one of those things. But it struck me more as a parent thing, I think, than it did about a pro athlete has lost his life here. And I do agree with you. With the money he had and the resources, he was doing some good things for a lot of people that need help. And I do appreciate that part from him.
Yeah, no question about it. That's a look at our headlines, our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the show. We'll head to a commercial break. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, is next. More on IU basketball and the loss last night at Penn State coming up right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with, Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly back with you here on a Thursday show. And Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins us on Thursdays. We talk IU basketball. And, of course, we can talk today with Alex about a very lackluster performance by the Hoosiers last night, specifically in the second half as Indiana gets handled by Penn State. And, Alex, before we even talk a moment of IU basketball from last night, I want to say this. It's remarkable to me. I know Indiana's not great. I do think at times they're pretty good and have the potential to be pretty good. But it's amazing to me the difference in Penn State. We've talked about this with Rutgers, but with Rutgers it's kind of been a slow progression. You've seen them getting better. They've had some successes. They've upset some people. A year ago at this time, basically, Penn State was 0-10 in the Big Ten Conference. And they don't have a terrific record right now this season, but quite a turnaround for that program and for that coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of upperclassmen. That's part of the reason that they've continued to improve. I mean, they had that year a couple of years ago where they won the NIT and then Tony Carr left, and that was a big loss for them. And they just don't obviously have the recruiting power to just kind of reload after that, but Lamar Stevens has stuck around, and he's obviously now in his fourth season and just become a really good player. And they've got obviously Mike Watkins, another front court player who's really good and what he does. And you know, Pat Chambers has been around this league now. This is his ninth year. Most coaches wouldn't get 9 years to get to the NCAA tournament, but Penn State's a little bit different because you know there's not a whole lot of coaches lining up to take over there. And you know, he's got strong roots in the area, has done a pretty good job, I feel like, recruiting. And his teams have always played hard. He hadn't always had the best talent, haven't always agreed with some of the decisions he's made in terms of an X and O standpoint, but give them credit. They're a good team this year. They've only lost one home game. Yesterday's game, quite frankly, wasn't what I was expecting in the end of the win. Whether you asked me before the season, at the start of the season or before the game yesterday, I just didn't think it was a game that Indiana matched up particularly well in. And, I thought they played better than what they did, but that was a pretty good team they lost to.
You know, Alex, as I've read articles and listened to people talk as this season has progressed, it's almost like it's a foregone conclusion that if you're playing on the road, you're going to lose. That this is the way basketball has become. And when you win on the road, it's like, oh, my goodness, we're playing so well right now. Do you get that same feeling that people are just accepting the fact they're going to lose when they're not at home?
I mean, it's more so in the Big Ten, I think. I mean, you look at the other conferences, it's not as, big of a deal in terms of going on the road. I think that what the Big Ten has is a lot of really good venues that you have to go to, tough places where there's usually a good turnout. Now, Penn State's one of the rare exceptions to that, but even like Nebraska, Rutgers, teams that have historically not been that good, they're drawing big crowds. I mean, Nebraska, I think, is getting 14 or 15,000 a game, and they don't have anything close to a good team. So that's part of it. And then I just think a lot of it also is that there's 12 teams in this league that have a legitimate chance to maybe make the tournament. Not many leagues can say that. So, you know, you look at the ACC or the SEC, and there's a lot of road games that those teams at the top can go and win easily on the road. And in the Big Ten, it's just not like that. I mean, other than Nebraska, where IU won, in Northwestern, where IU doesn't play this year, I don't think there's a venue on the road this year in the Big Ten that IU would be favored in a game. So that tells you, top to bottom, that this is just one of the stronger leagues that we've seen in quite some time. It's kind of surprised me because before the season, I didn't see this coming, but that's the reality of it. And there's been some teams that have gone on the road and won. I think Illinois got 3 road wins, and that's why they're right in the thick of the thing to win the Big Ten. The teams that that aren't going to win on the road at all and are going to be having to, you know, hold serve at home as much as possible to even try to get to a 500 record. And that's really where Indiana is at this point. I've said all along that, you know, I picked up ninth in the Big Ten to start the season. I haven't really deviated from that. I think that's probably right about where they'll finish. And it's going to come down to whether or not they can win enough home games to get to 500. I mean, they've lost one now, so if they went out at home, they'd be 10-10 if they didn't win another road game. I just struggle to see where the road wins are going to come from at this point. I just don't really see Indiana. Maybe they'll win another one, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't win another one all year.
Let me ask you, I was going to save this for later in the conversation, but I mentioned that, you know, based on what I saw against Michigan State and Maryland, I thought Indiana, okay, they're going to be an NCAA tournament team. And I guess I keep that thought moving forward. Maybe it's a hopeful thought. With your comments on road games, and I can obviously see and agree with what you're saying on that, your opinion right now, where we stand here entering February 1 very soon, is this Indiana team, Alex, in your estimation, an NCAA tournament team? What type of chance do they have to be an NCAA tournament team? And maybe what do they need to do on their resume to get a bid for the tournament? What do you think they still, moving forward, need to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, I would say they are, because you just look around the country at some of the mock brackets and different projections and some of the teams that are battling for the final few spots. I mean, their resumes are pretty lackluster. And Indiana, you know, you look at their losses, they haven't really lost to anybody that you would consider to be a bad team. I think most of the teams they've lost to at this point are all going to make the tournament. So I think it's going to come down to how many Big Ten wins they get. They got five now. I think if they make it to nine, that means they would have, I believe, 19 wins in the regular season. If they get to 10, I think it'd be 20. So, you know, I think if they're in that range, they're going to have a really good chance to make it. Now, will it be a, you know, 6 or 7 seed that they would have gotten if they could have beat Maryland and maybe won another road game or two? No, but I think they would be safely in at that point, just because you look at who they would have beaten. I mean, their upcoming home games, I think, are Purdue, Iowa, Penn State, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. There's some opportunities for some decent wins in there. You know, they win 4 of those games, and I think they're in pretty good shape to make it. It's an underwhelming year in college basketball as a whole. It's a really good year in the Big Ten, but, you know, some of these major conferences like the ACC and SEC are going to struggle to put the normal amount of teams that they get in. So somebody's got to take those spots, and it's not like there's a bunch of mid-major schools who are setting the world on fire. So, you know, I think we're going to see, you know, 10, maybe 11 Big Ten teams in. And right now, just based on the sheer number of losses they've taken, I would say Indiana would be in over teams like Minnesota and Purdue. That's assuming that they can figure out a way to win some of these home games down the stretch and get to probably 9 Big Ten wins. I think they'd be pretty safely in at that point.
Alex, you had mentioned earlier this morning talking about teams that have veteran ball players and are having good years in a lot of cases. Are we seeing that trend going back that direction? Memphis not having the year they had hoped for. Some of the other schools that do a lot of the one-and-dones having good years but not having the kind of year that they've had in the past. Is it kind of swinging back where coaches are trying to keep kids around or get players in that are going to be 3- and 4-year players to be in the program and really be a part of the system?
Well, I mean, in terms of the one-and-done thing, there's only a few handful of programs that can do that year in, year out, and be successful with it. I'm not really surprised that Memphis has had problems with it because they've never done it before, and it's hard to do. It's not, I mean, everyone likes to poke fun at Cal and Coach K for, you know, they have the best players every year, and oh, they don't win the championship. Well, it's not easy to take 4 or 5 guys who have been told they're the best player in the world their whole lives and put them together and make them into a team that plays well together. So give them credit for that. In terms of this year and, you know, the upperclassmen, I think it's more noticeable this year when you don't have a great freshman class. I mean, there's not a lot of great I mean, last year we had Zion, Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett all on one team. You know, there's no player in college basketball probably that's as good as those guys right now in terms of talent and upside. I mean, there may be a few. I mean, the kid at Georgia's pretty good, but obviously they're not having a good season either. So I think it becomes more apparent to us how important the upperclassmen are when you don't have that super team or two that's led by freshmen. And then all of a sudden you look around and you say, well, who's got the best, most experienced players? And those are typically the teams that are going to be most successful in a scenario like this. I mean, there's not going to be a team that's led by freshmen that's going to win the tournament this year. I mean, even Kentucky's team, you know, they've got some guys who are older now. I mean, Nick Richards is stuck in that program for 3 years. How many big guys do you see go to Kentucky and stay there for 3 years? He's developed into a really good player. They're not where they are without him staying and being able to develop. So I think it becomes more apparent in those years when you don't have that great freshman class that's dominating college basketball that everybody's talking about. We just don't have that this year. So it's going to be most important to have upperclassmen and that can lead your team. And I think that's one reason Indiana struggled a lot on the road, is they don't have great leadership in their upper classes, particularly in the senior class. I mean, those Devontae Green and Deron Davis, they just, in terms of consistency of production and kind of what they bring on a night-to-night basis, you don't know what you're going to get from those guys, and that's not really a great place to be in with seniors.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hole. Alex, you wrote about Indiana's backcourt, the veterans, and how essentially they didn't show up in last night's game. There were 12 turnovers in the second half, and if you break down the stats or the lack thereof, for Armaan Franklin, Al Durham, Devontae Green, and even Rob Phinisee, it does not look good for Indiana, and it's easy to see why things fell apart for Indiana last night. How concerning should that be? Four scholarship guards, Devontae Green, Rob Phinisee, obviously player, Al Durham as well, obviously returners, experienced players to some degree for this team. How concerning is it in a big road environment where the game's tied at halftime that they come out and have such a poor second half, not just one or two of them, but collectively as the backcourt for this team?
It's not good. I mean, I think the most disappointing thing when you look at last night's game was that was an opportunity to win a game that, you know, both teams were bad in the first half. Indiana was kind of lucky that Penn State didn't make more shots and didn't have a lead. It was tied. So you got to go into the locker room and say, listen, guys, you know, this is a ranked team on the road. We're tied. We have an opportunity here. And they just completely come out and lay an egg. I mean, the only guy that I would say played relatively decent last night was Trace Jackson Davis, and they really couldn't even get him the ball in the second half. Penn State took that away, and that's on the guards. I mean, whether or not it's on one of them, two of them, three of them, four of them, the fact of the matter is all four of them were basic no-shows last night, and you're not going to beat anybody good on the road if your guards don't come to play. I mean, this is a guard-driven game in many ways at every level of basketball. You're as good as your guards, and, you know, Indiana's guards have been good at times this year. The Florida State win is an example. Michigan State, they were even pretty good against Maryland, but when they didn't, I mean, basically show up last night at all in the second half, that's all. I mean, You could have told me at halftime that if you would have told me those were the stats for those guys in the second half, I would have told you that Indiana lost by 20 or 25. They were pretty lucky to only lose by 15. It wasn't really that close of a game. So it's I think it had everything to do with why they got beat yesterday. It was those four guys just didn't give them anything.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. Always look forward to our conversations on Thursday, and not a great look, not a great performance at all for Indiana last night, but I have a feeling this thing's going to come down to the wire, both how this conference is going and really how this Indiana team is going. Look forward to talking to you the rest of the way.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. Switch gears when we come back. A little IU football talk, lots of activity there. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. He joins us next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly with me in studio. We're joined by Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. Matt is the football writer for Pigs.com, and of course, it's the off season, but lots to talk about with this Indiana football program. We said it was going to be a pretty lively off season. Upbeat right now is the feeling surrounding Indiana football. But Matt, I think we have to start with something that I'm not sure everyone saw coming, and I'm curious your opinion. Peyton Ramsey, who was the backup quarterback this season until, of course, Penix's injury, announced or has been confirmed that he is in the NCAA transfer portal. He's got enough credits to be a graduate of transfer, which means he can be immediately eligible to play a final year of football at another Division I school. Your thoughts on this? Does this catch you by surprise? Did you think that he would knowingly return, likely as the backup for next year? Where did you see all this falling out, and did you see it coming to this for Peyton Ramsey, Matt? Do we have Matt with us? Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Must not be connected. Doug, our producer, will check on that. But, Lee, definitely some news that caught me by surprise. Peyton Ramsey entering the transfer portal. Matt, are you with us now?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Did you? I don't know if you heard my initial question. Thoughts on?
Yeah, I did.
Thoughts on that? Did it surprise you? Did you think this was coming, or was this something that caught you a little blindsided?
No, I really wasn't all that surprised by it. I kind of been hearing some rumblings and some whispers that this was the most likely outcome for Peyton Ramsey. I think Tom Allen had been pretty clear all season that if Michael Penix is healthy, he's the starter. And so I think, Peyton Ramsey, kind of figured going into spring ball and into next year, he was going to be the number two guy on the depth chart. And if Michael Penix stayed healthy, jumping him was going to be really difficult. And I think he's looking for a situation where for his final year of college football, he's got, a better or, maybe an easier road to a starting job. And so this wasn't a big shock to me. He obviously did great things for Indiana and had a great career. And obviously I think you can make the case he was the MVP of the team. And, it was one of the biggest reasons why they won 8 games and went to the Gator Bowl. But at the end of the day, Michael Penix, now the health is an issue. Staying healthy is an issue. But at the end of the day, when they're both healthy, Michael Penix is the better player and the offense has more upside with him at quarterback.
Talking with Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, IU football. We've been treated to some really good quarterback competitions in the offseason leading up to the season. In fact, we haven't found out really till the right at the first game, in some cases, who is going to be the starter. With Michael Penix expected back and hopefully to be healthy, will we probably not see that? I'd have to assume with Peyton Ramsey gone, with the other quarterbacks lesser experienced on the roster, maybe not near that level to compete with Penix. Is this going to be pretty cut and dry thing, I would have to assume?
Well, I think he's definitely in the driver's seat. All positions are kind of in pencil until you get down to the season. And he's going to be expected to go out there, continue to perform and practice at a high level. But I've heard very good things about Jack Tuttle, especially at the end of the season. He had that illness back in the spring that caused him to miss the spring game. And, it sounded like that kind of lingered a little bit longer than they expected. And he really was never fully healthy until at some point during the season. And once he started feeling like his old self, he really started playing better and practicing better. Now practices are closed, so I'm kind of going on word of mouth, but I heard positive reviews about him at the end of the season, and I think he's going to be a guy that's going to push Michael Penix. But, at the end of the day, Penix has got the game experience. Obviously, he's very talented, so is Jack Tuttle. But I think that game experience and the fact that he's kind of got the lead right now will be tough to overcome. But, if he slips at all, and if the reports I heard were accurate, then Jack Tuttle could be right there to really have a shot at that job.
What are you hearing about the other positions, other players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to be able to stop people late in games and pick up even more victories? What are you hearing about the players that have been redshirted or played last year coming back and so on?
Well, there's some guys that they really like. I mean, and, you know, to me, it starts up front on both sides of the ball. So on defense, you know, you look at a guy like C.J. Person, who got in four games. You know, they redshirted Bo Robbins, who was a four-star defensive end. They redshirted Antoine Whitner, who was a highly recruited defensive lineman out of IMG Academy. Cam Williams, a four-star, you know, linebacker. They put him at Husky from up in the region of Andrean. So John Sanguinetti, really talented safety out of South Florida, who played in a couple games and banged up his shoulder and was out for the rest of the year, but will be healthy for spring ball. So, you know, they've got some good redshirt guys, and then obviously you got a lot of young guys. You know, Theo and Taiwan Mullen and guys like that who played, who are going to get better. They're going to get bigger and stronger. They've got a whole off season to work, spring ball and all that. So, you know, the defense. I thought the defensive performance and game plan, and just the adjustments they made. And obviously, I know at the end it was rough, but I thought their defensive performance in the Gator Bowl was really good. That was maybe one of their best performances of the year, considering the opponent and the speed they were facing. And I thought they did a good job. Obviously, at the end, you know, giving up two late touchdowns was tough. But I thought overall, I thought they played pretty well, and hopefully they can carry that into the offseason.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. He's the football writer for Pigs.com. Make sure you give him a follow, because lots of recruiting activity, lots of things with this IU football program. And, Matt, I think it's going to be one of the more exciting off seasons that I can remember in IU football, which means we're probably going to be in touch with you even more than what we have been in the past. So thanks for coming on today. Great to get a little update and to get your thoughts on Peyton Ramsey, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, guys, take care. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. Lee Kelly with me. Lee, thank you. And, again, thanks to everybody listening and for putting up with me being out. Glad to be back, starting to get better, as you can probably hear in my voice. And, Lee, I know before we sign off here, we do want to say to one of our friends and someone you've known forever, there's a gentleman in Seymour named Bud Shippey, who's been the play-by-play voice of the Seymour High School team for years and years. He announced his retirement effectively at the end of this season, even from play-by-play. Recently was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He makes his final trip to New Albany tonight to cover the Seymour-New Albany girls game. Of course, that's the last regular season game before girls sectionals next week. And Bud's always taken time to be nice to me. You and him go way, way back from your days working in Seymour Radio. So I just want to say, Bud, congratulations on a great career. He's been a great voice in high school basketball in Southern Indiana.
Yeah, before Bud was his father doing play-by-play in that same position. So they've been keeping Seymour fans informed for a long time.
Absolutely. That wraps it up. I'm back with you Friday at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Pat Dennison.